Welcome back to Home Design Chat with Nancy, and I'm your host, Nancy Hugo. If you're remodeling or building a new home, you came to the right place. Well, today is April 28th. We can say goodbye to April. Boy, those 4 months really went fast for 2024. You know, I've been looking at the news like everybody else and looking at the prices of homes and apartments, and boy, everything is sky high. And I know a lot of people want to downsize, or maybe people want to move out of their parents' house. And I've got this great idea. Why not move into an RV? And you can fix it up the way you like it. I think it's a great idea. And so our guest today, Chris Diamond, who everybody knows because he's been on with me several times talking about everything. But today we're going to talk about RVs because Chris has one.
I do.
Chris, I know you do. I saw it. So thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome.
And we want to talk about RV living, right? Because I think that would be a great alternative. Number one, some people are getting tiny houses, but then you can't pick up your house and go to another city unless it's on wheels. So let's talk about the pros and cons of RV living.
Okay. And just to give you a background, we've had an RV since I was a little kid. We did a lot of RVing when I was a kid. And as soon as I got married, first thing we did, we got a dog that was like our child. So the first thing we did was get an RV so we could take the dog when we wanted to travel.
And how big was that RV?
That one at the time was a 30-foot Class A. Now there's, you know, several different styles. Class A is the bus type, looks kind of like a big bus. There's a Class B, which are very popular right now, which are kind of like an oversized van. Mm-hmm. They build them on Dodge Transit vans. Mm-hmm. And Mercedes makes a van, and a lot of people are using those now because they're small. And you don't have to, not a lot of setup. So if you need to run to the store, you just jump in and run to the store and you come back. Plus,
that,
a lot
that would
of people,
help with the gas price, right?
And they get a lot better gas mileage. And people like them because they're small, easy to handle, and they can park anywhere. A lot of people do that kind of camp without being detected. So they can camp on the streets and they all black out all the windows. So you can't tell that there's somebody inside. And then there's a Class C, and those are the kind of ones that have the van front on them, but the rest of the back is kind of a motorhome looking. And then there's also the, you know, travel trailers and fifth wheels, which are towables. So you got many choices.
Well, to tell you the truth, I knew we were going to do this the other day. I looked into some different kinds of, I want to say not Winnebagos, but they were different kinds of bus types. And there was one that was $1.3 million. Well, we can't talk about that today because, boy, that's not living on a budget. So let's go back to what you were doing. So when you were a kid, you lived or you You said when you first got married and had a dog, you had a 30-footer, right?
That's the first one we bought that I bought as an adult. Yeah.
And how much time did you spend in it?
Oh, we did some trips. You know, we did a lot of weekend trips, and then we did, trip to California for, 2 weeks. And just kind of
2 weeks isn't bad. Did you enjoy, you know, being that close to your loved ones?
Oh, yeah. We loved it. We just loved it. And as a matter of fact, one time, we were, when we first moved here, they used to have this big New Year's Eve party in Scottsdale. So we got a bunch of friends together. We piled in the RV at about 3 o'clock. We parked in Scottsdale and we sat there and made dinner inside the RV and then went to the big party in downtown Scottsdale. And then when we came back, I made everybody chorizo and eggs for breakfast before we drove home.
Oh, so, well, what kind of stove did you have? How big was it? I'm wondering how much cooking you can do in an RV kitchen.
Yeah, they're not really meant for making big, giant meals, but most of them have a 3-burner stove. Some of the smaller ones are coming with 2-burner stoves now. Mm-hmm. So everyone that I've had so far has a 3-burner stove. And we are on, One, two, three, four, five. I think this is our fifth or sixth one since I moved to Arizona.
Boy, you're really experienced in this.
Yeah.
I have at a show one time, I walked into an RV, looked around and said, oh, this is cute. That was my total experience. So that's why I have to rely on you. The idea is, it sounds like fun. But if you have 10 kids, forget it. I think it'd be a little cramped. But
there are people on YouTube that live full time in RVs with like six kids, which I can never do, but they do it. And they have I remember this one family, they had a van, one of those big 12 passenger vans, and the wife would just load half the kids in the van and drive behind the RV while the husband drove the RV with a couple of the kids in there. And then, you know, when they got to where they were, they all moved in and they had modified the RV with a lot of bunk beds. So they had plenty of sleeping for the kids.
Yeah, and they get to know each other real well. You know, I can see if somebody wants to buy a second house, and of course, with this economy, maybe they can't afford a full second house. So getting an RV as a vacation home, maybe going, well, we live in Arizona, as everybody knows, and it gets hot here in the summer, so they can get an RV and go up to the mountains, namely Flagstaff or that area, and find a place to park, or do they have to find a campground?
Yeah, mostly you find a campground. There are new businesses popping up. One was called Harvest Hosts, and they made deals with a lot of wineries and farms where if you just needed a night or two, you go through your Harvest Hosts and you could park at a winery and spend the night there. And, you know, their only obligation is to hopefully go into the winery and buy some wine. And
I don't think you would have to force anybody to do that.
Okay, you wouldn't have to force me.
Oh, my God. You know, all I have to do is say, there's a winery, I'm there. So that sounds like fun. That sounds like it'd be a great weekend trip.
Yeah, now there's a new one that's actually people's houses. And I'm assuming that's mostly, you know, big houses in the Midwest that have big properties. And there's you join it's like a app on your phone and you join for, I don't know, $50 a year or something. And they give you a list of people willing to let you, you know, park in their driveway or in their back lot.
Now, once you do that, do you think that you go into the people's house to have dinner or use the bathroom, or is everything self-contained in the RV?
Everything self-contained in the RV.
So you're only using their property to park.
Yeah. And that, you know, that person probably gets a small amount of money every time somebody parks there. And I mean, it's a good thing because a lot of, during the pandemic, RV sales, you know, went skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm.
They were, I don't know, like tripled how many they sold the year before. And so now it's difficult to get you have to call 2 months in advance to get a space at a decent RV park.
Well, what about a Walmart parking lot? Are they kind of nixing that?
Walmart still lets you park there. I don't know that I would ever do that. If I was going to travel full time in my RV, I would probably join that Harvest Hosts program and the other one. And, you know, if I needed, because most people just stay at Walmart just for overnight. So they have a long drive. Instead of driving the whole night, they just break it up.
Yeah, and if you need groceries, you just walk across the parking lot.
And that's why Walmart lets you park there. I know that some don't, and you have to call before you decide to stay there to make sure it's okay with that at that particular Walmart.
Yeah. Should we talk about that rocketing gas price? How much do you have to put aside for gas when you say stay in an RV for a week and travel around? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they only get, I know mine probably, we just bought it, so we haven't done a lot of travel in it, but the last one we had was a little bigger than this one, and they get about between 7 to 9 miles per gallon. So, you know, depending on how much the gas is at that particular time, you know, you figure out how much gas you're going to use. And the good ones, the good RVs, the Class A's, the drivables, use a diesel engine. And those ones actually have
diesel
a lot.
Right now is up there too, over $4. As I said before, today is April 28th. We're in Arizona, and I see the prices going up. And I heard that it's $7 for regular gas in California.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. But diesel RVs, especially drivable ones, have the advantage they have a lot more power. So we can tow a car behind our RV. And we call them toads, like the frog.
Yeah.
We can have a toad that's up to 5,000 pounds.
Does that put drag on your engine so you're getting less miles per gallon?
It does, but we didn't really notice a big difference. But we only towed a Mini Cooper.
Yeah, now's not the time to.
It's very light.
Tow an SUV.
But if you have a diesel drivable. I think they can tow up to like 10,000 pounds, and a lot of people will tow full-size pickup trucks behind their.
You keep referring to RV drivables,
as opposed to
RV that's not drivable.
A towable, like a trailer or a fifth wheel.
Oh, okay.
And even the people that have trailers and fifth wheels tend to buy diesel trucks just because they have more power. For towing. So when we go up to Flagstaff and we hit some of those hills, you know, I'm down to like 40 miles an hour top speed up the hill, whereas if I'm in a diesel RV, I can do 60 no problem.
Yeah, well, for those people who don't know anything about Arizona, it's not flat like Kansas. And I'm imagining, I went through Kansas once, because once you go up, you're on your way up north in Arizona, it's what's the elevation on that? I can't remember.
Flagstaff's probably like 6,000-7,000 feet.
Yeah. So it's uphill all the way. Of course, coming back to Phoenix, it's downhill. So that's more fun on your engine. But quickly, let me talk about Monogram Appliances, because I love Monogram Appliances. They are smart appliances. They have everything you can imagine to complete your kitchen. From dishwashers to refrigerators, freezers, cooktops, ovens, everything. And they're all smart appliances so that you can actually control them with your Smart HQ app. And again, like I say, every week you can have smart appliances. And if you don't want to download the app on your phone, you don't have to. But you can have the app and not have smart appliances. Otherwise, you're just taking up space in your phone. Right, Chris? Right. So if you're interested in remodeling your kitchen or just replacing your appliances, I suggest that you go to a Monogram showroom so that you can check out the new appliances. They're beautiful. And try to find a showroom that has working appliances. That always helps so that you can actually see how they work. Go onto their website, monogram.com, to learn more about the appliances before you go visit them. And also, that's a good place to do some research before you start prancing around town, especially with the price of gas. You don't want to go all over the place unless you know where you're heading. So check out monogram.com. You'll love those appliances. Okay, Chris. So I keep thinking, I don't know if I could live in an RV because I need a lot of space.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you're going to live full-time in an RV, you're best to get what they call a fifth wheel. And those fifth wheels are towables. You tow them behind a truck, and they actually attach to the truck. There's a piece of equipment in the bed of the truck, and the fifth wheel attaches in the bed of the truck. It puts the weight over the rear axles, rather than towing it with like a trailer hitch. And I tell you, Nancy, you know, they have some RVs have what they call slide outs, which is a portion of the room that slides out at 3 feet to give you an extra 3 feet of room. And some of those fifth wheels are just incredible. I mean, they have full size domestic refrigerators, same refrigerator you'd have in your house, you know, French door and ice makers. They have stoves that look like a Viking stove. They're made by RV company, but they have, you know, high end,
like the industrial stove.
That's yeah, what you're gourmet stoves, yeah. And they have a kitchen island with a sink in the kitchen island, and you know they'll have a couch and some recliners.
Well, I've been looking at pictures, Chris. Unbelievable, especially that one that was $1.3 million. That was absolutely gorgeous. But you know, to bring us back to reality. Well, first of all, I knew a couple who actually sold their house and they got a fifth wheel and they traveled around. And the end of the story, they got a divorce. But unfortunately, and I'm sure that's not the reason why they got a divorce, but you do find out if you can live with that person in close quarters or if you can live with them plus your dog and your cat and your child. So what is the storage like?
Well, they all vary. I mean, if you just get a travel trailer, you're not going to have very much storage. So in that case, maybe you use the back of your truck to put all your junk in, because I tell you, we carry like 4 chairs, a table, a rug, a fire pit, a gas fire pit, a barbecue grill. And, you know, that's only the stuff that we take out when we're camping. We have a set of lights that we hang up, and it really takes a lot of storage. But if you get one of those big fifth wheels, and they're not that expensive, you know, you don't have to be a millionaire to get a really luxurious fifth wheel. You can get one for under $100,000.
You can get a used one.
Used
one?
Yeah, I mean, for a fifth wheel, you'd be hard-pressed to pay over like $150,000 for a brand new one.
Oh.
So that's the way, you know, if I was going to travel full-time, I don't know, I'd probably stay with what I have, which is a Class A. Not the one I have, but I don't need that much space. But if you really want it to be more like a house, you'd get a fifth wheel. And they could have 4 slide outs, which means 4 walls and it slide out to make it bigger. And they come with washer dryers. Some of them are even coming with dishwashers now.
Wow.
So you have your washer dryer, you have your dishwasher, you know, the heating, air conditioning.
All the comforts of home, right?
Some of them have ceiling fans. You know, giant TVs. So I mean, some of those fifth wheels are just huge and very residential like.
Yeah. Well, I would suggest that if people are looking for an alternative to a second house, or if they're at the point where they want to downsize and they want to sell their house, maybe they like to travel. They can also get an Airstream, Winnebago Airstream, whatever. But you have to be a certain kind of person. You have to get rid of all your tchotchkes unless you put them in storage or pass them on to your kids. You have to get used to living in closer quarters. So if you like traveling, I would say, more than you like staring at your tchotchkes, this is the way to go, right?
Yeah, and I kind of like what there's a couple. Well, they start off as a family traveling full time in their RV. And slowly each one of them, they had 3 kids at the time, and slowly each one, you know, got to college age and left. So now they're just traveling, the two of them by themselves. But I like what they did. And they bought a house up in Flagstaff. And what they do is they, you know, use it as an Airbnb short-term rental. And then when they come into town, they have a place to stay. Like if it's Thanksgiving, they'll go back to their house in Flagstaff, and then they'll, you know, invite the family up and do their thing, and then they get back in their trailer and travel some more.
So where do they get their mail delivered?
There are services that you have your mail delivered to, and then you let them know where you are and they forward it to you. So if you're at a campground, you have them forward it there. They can scan it for you, you know, open the mail, scan it, and then send it to you.
Oh, well, if you order something from Amazon, you can say, okay, I'll meet you at the corner by the McDonald's or whatever. Well,
a lot of the RV parks or campgrounds will take Amazon packages for you.
I was thinking more of people who want to keep traveling. If you're on the go, I guess you can have it delivered to a friend and pick it up at their house.
Well, most people, when they travel, especially if you travel full time, usually will travel somewhere and then stay a week or longer. And then you spend a couple of days traveling and then you stay somewhere else a week or longer. I mean, it's no fun to, stay one night in each place. You want to get out and you want to explore.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to go to, Moab, Utah, I'm going to stay there for a while because I want to explore.
Yeah. I want to talk about Studio 41 like I do every week. Studio 41 is a Kohler showroom. They have everything that Kohler has introduced at the Kitchen and Bath Show that's new. And they also have cabinets. While you're traveling around in your RV, if you pass by Illinois, they have 11 showrooms in that state and one in Scottsdale. That's the one that I use. That's my source for kitchen and bath fixtures and also cabinetry hardware. And they also have cabinetry. In the Scottsdale showroom and in the Illinois showroom, they have windows and tile. But I don't know if you can actually buy plumbing from a regular showroom and put it in your RV if you wanted to change out the fixtures of your shower. Chris, do you need something special?
Yes. I wouldn't do that. And the reason is a couple of issues of living in an RV. One is water. If you're at an RV park, they usually all have a place to hook up your sewer line, and they'll have a place to hook up your water hose. So you've got unlimited water. But if you're what they call boondocking, which just means you're camping without any hookups, you gotta kind of conserve water. So most of the shower heads you buy for an RV will be a low flow shower head, because they don't want you to use up all your water.
Yeah. I think when you buy an RV, you have to have a dictionary, because you said so many different phrases that it's like, this is all new to me.
Yeah, and as far as appliances, RVs use propane, and most home appliances use natural gas, so there's a difference. And you have to have, if you were to buy a stove, let's say you're going to build your own RV and you're going to put it in a residential stove, you have to have it converted to propane.
Oh, and a lot of stoves are available that way. But I just want to finish with Studio 41. I just want to let you guys know that you can go on their website, shopstudio41.com. That's shopstudio41.com. You can shop online. I'm sure they'll ship it to you no matter where your RV ends up. So they have some really cool stuff. Chris and I were talking off air about redoing the inside, and I was watching a YouTube video about these two guys who did their interiors over, and the first thing everybody says is, well, paint the cabinets and change out the hardware. And Studio 41 has the great selection of hardware, so you should check that out. So that, again, it's shopstudio41.com. So, Chris, we were talking about that special dictionary that you need when you buy an RV.
Yeah.
How do you think people feel about living alone? And I've seen a couple of YouTubes where young women say, okay, we've had it with the apartment prices. I can work from home. I'm going to live in my RV and travel and see the world. Is that safe?
I've never had any problems. If you stay in an RV park, if I was a single woman, even a single man, I don't know that I would stay in a Walmart parking lot overnight.
No, stay away from those Walmart parking lots.
But, most campgrounds are safe. They have a lot of people around. So, I know there's a lot of women, they do a lot of boondocking, which to me is kind of crazy because, that's your park out in the middle of nowhere with nobody around you.
That doesn't sound safe to me.
No, it doesn't sound safe to me either. But they do it, and there's not a lot of problems. So
if you do have an RV, where do you park it? If you're living in your house at the time and you have your RV, you can't park it in front of your house, right? It's kind of
right.
Big.
Well, for us, we're an HOA, so we can't even park it here. Some people who are not HOA, they have an RV gate on the side of their house and they'll just park it at their house. For me, I have to pay to park it at a RV storage lot.
Mm-hmm. So how long has it been since you've been in your RV? Are you missing the closeness of your loved ones?
Yes and no. I mean, I miss traveling. We haven't traveled in this new one yet, and it's going to be interesting because, you know, before it was just my wife and myself and our dog. Now it's my wife, myself, our adopted daughter, and our two dogs, and maybe throw an exchange student in there, and it's going to be a full house. So we'll see.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Chris, for everybody who doesn't know, Chris happens to be involved with setting up foreign exchange students. Do you want to just give us a quickie on, because I think that's so interesting and we really should do a podcast, but that podcast really doesn't fit into design. But while I got you on here, quickly, say something about foreign exchange students and how you enjoy that.
Oh, we love having a foreign exchange student. The kids are awesome. They, you know, become part of our family for 5 or 10 months and then they go away and then we still keep in touch with them. And it's like having, you know, a bunch of kids that don't live with you any longer. So, yeah.
And they speak different languages and they cook and you've carried on a relationship with them and you've also visited some in Europe.
That's correct.
So,
yeah.
Yes. So, you know, for those who are wondering, well, who is Chris? He seems to wear many hats. He is my IT guy and he has RVs. He has adopted children. He works with foreign exchange students. If you want to know more about Chris, you've got to email me at nancy@nancyhugo.com. And I'm sure Chris would love to communicate with everybody about what he does.
Absolutely.
I hope everybody enjoyed today's show. It was a little bit different than what we usually do, but I thought knowing a little bit more about a second home on wheels or maybe your first home on wheels and traveling around would be really interesting. Now, if you did enjoy this or any of the other podcasts that I do, please subscribe on the platform that you're using to listen to these podcasts. And don't forget to share them with your friends. You never know if you have a friend who wants to really investigate RV living. Right, Chris?
That's right. It's been wonderful for us. I mean, just to wake up and, you know, if you travel to California and you wake up and you step out your door and you're at the beach is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to learn more about me, you can go to my website. I have a design website, nancyhugo.com. And my email is nancy@nancyhugo.com. Chris, thanks a lot. This was fun. It was different. And I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Okay, stay safe, everybody, and have a great day.
Bye.